We are doing okay. I ask that you would pray for Lisa. She's pretty much been in and out of bed for the last several days. She's not feeling well at all. So we've been to the emergency room a few times this weekend. And so just pray for her. She needs prayer. I wrestled with a Christmas message, not a Christmas, to start the Christian Christmas message, not, and so I said, God, okay, like I always do, what do you want me to say? Well, we'll start the Christmas message next week. Okay. But we've been studying on the mission of the church. On Wednesdays, we've been going through the missions of the church, and a lot of the books that I'm reading, and that you will hopefully will talk with Rick and talk with some of the other men around and see what we could do to get some of these for you guys. I believe there are good tools to help us to understand what it is that we should do. Also, the good thing about reading God's word is that it convicts you. And it makes you look at you and yourself to see if you're doing what you are supposed to be doing in the eyes of God when it comes to mission. Okay? So I don't come in front of you guys and say, you. I don't do that. I come and I say, we. Okay? Because there's a lot of areas that I need work on. But today, what he gave me is that when we begin to do mission, when we begin to get serious about reaching the lost for Christ, then what happens is that we find ourselves, and if you agree with this, amen, somebody help me this morning, I'm struggling, that we find ourselves in struggle after struggle. Amen. Amen. Thank you, people. Amen. I needed that one. We find ourselves in struggle after struggle, be it something that's small or a catastrophe happens in our lives. You know, where there was peace and harmony, and then all of a sudden, because you desire to walk and to reach people for Christ, then in that area of life, disharmony comes in. For whatever reason. You know, how many of y'all know that even though you are saved, Satan can also tempt you to act sometimes not like a Christian. Amen. Sometimes. You know, me and Lisa have this thing about, we say, stop. Yep, we say stop. Because when we get to the point to where, okay, this is not going anywhere, this conversation, and you're getting riled up, and I'm getting riled up, and it might be over, you know, why didn't you throw the toothpaste away after you used the last bit? Can't squeeze no more out of it. And that's, for some reason, that irritated me. I'm talking about myself, okay? that irritated me, and I just went and said, why would you do that? Why would you just leave that there like that? And don't go, you know, get the new box of toothpaste out, but you left it in there, and all along, I could have did what? We ain't got the new box of toothpaste, could I? Yeah. But something inside of me wanted to cause a ruckus. And so we get to the point to where we say, okay, now, stop. What is that? Why is that? Is that just coming from the sin that is in me or all that kind of stuff? Is that what that's coming from? No, what it is that you are under attack. You see? You are under attack by Satan. Okay? Why? Because he don't want you to do what God wants you to do. It's just that simple. I could go elaborate if you want to, but we'll just say it just like that. He don't want me to do, he don't want you to do what God has for you to do. He don't want you to put first things, thank you, first things first. And what is first things first? If we're talking about God's body, God's church, if we're talking about God's mission, then what is first things first? Jesus. Making disciples. First things first. You can put on any program you want. You can do anything you want in the church. You can have a bowling team and football team. You can even whatever you want. But that is not what is first on God's agenda. What is first on God's agenda is that the people of God come together in order to make disciples. And when we change the way that we think, when we change the way that we think, now, the things that we do may be good things. You know, it's good to go and do, to have a committee for beautification of the church. That's a good thing. We need that. Everybody should do that, should participate in that. But is that first things first? Is that putting what God says first? It's not. Okay, if we put more, for some strange reason, in our churches, we want to do a whole lot of selling chicken and all that kind of stuff, you know. But is that first thing first? That's not first things first. So when you begin, as this church has done, I want to encourage you that you have begun to put first things first. And I praise God for you. I really do. Because the people, you don't know who you're going to reach over there. But it said go, didn't it? That's what I'm talking about. You're going. Let God do the rest of it. And so in doing this, you know, what we find is that we find ourselves in a battle. I don't know if anybody has felt that over the last several months, but I found myself and he's upped his attack on me. He's upped it on me. I don't know about anybody else, but upon me, he's upped his attack. His attack has become more harsh on me. He's trying his best to turn me around. And so what I give to you this morning is from 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, we don't have a lot of scripture this morning. 3 through 5. I promise you, I'm not going to take up very much of your time this morning. I said that before, so y'all take that with a grain of salt. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Verse 3, I gave y'all this long spiel so that for one, I can get off my chest some things. Okay? And for two, to let you know that you know that you're getting close to doing God's will when the enemy starts getting closer to you. Okay? When the enemy starts to, and you can almost feel him tugging at your shirt, tugging at your marriage, tugging at your children, tugging at your finances, tugging at all the things that God wants to bring alive and bring close to you. He begins tugging at those things. I'm standing as a witness that as God answers prayer. I had a chance to, with my daughter, Courtney, we had been kind of broken there for a while, but I had a chance to spend Thanksgiving with her. Amen. And that was a blessing. And she was like the little bitty baby that when she was born, she wanted to lay all on me and everything. And I just sucked it up. Okay, come on. You know, with your 23-year-old self. You know? And that's what I did. But that relationship is in a strain. And it's in a strain because I believe that Satan is trying to get at her, but also to get at me through her. Okay? Why do I believe that? Well, when I raised this child, when I learned to do better, I taught her to do better. When I learned the scripture, I taught her to read the scripture. And we would have times where that's what we did. Me and her, especially when the other kids got older and had left, we would sit down together and she would say, "Dad, what you reading?" Then she would go get her Bible. She's in high school now. She'd go get her Bible and sit down and read with me. So what I learned through the scripture, I taught her. And as she began to get older, and she wanted to get out more on her own, that's when she yielded. Nobody's fault but hers. That's when she yielded. But what it is a test of faith. It is a test of how long are you going to still hold on to what you believe? So whatever it is that you're going through in your life right now, whatever it might be, just look at it as a test of faith of how long you're going to hold on. I promised the Lord, November 9th, 1991, never forget it, I'll serve you till the day I die. That's what I said to him. Now either I lied, or I'm gonna keep him. So while I'm serving him, then that means that I'm going to have to fight a battle. Every one of us. Battle in our flesh. We get sick and broke down and want to go to the hospital and all of this stuff. A battle. We're fighting a battle, but the Christian. So I want to leave with you today. The thought for today is the weapons of our warfare. The weapons of our warfare. Verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk according to the flesh." We do not walk according to the flesh. In this verse, the thought is that although we are living in bodies of flesh, we do not wage war as the Christian warfare according to the flesh, in fleshly methods, in fleshly motives. Okay? We shouldn't even think about You know, the way we used to do things when trouble hit us before we were saved, we shouldn't even think about the way we used to handle situations back then. But our eyes should be focused on what Christ wants us to do now. Why? Because we don't wage war the same way that we used to. Paul is answering his accusers in this verse. Because in verse 2, they have accused him of acting in a carnal manner. Okay? They had accused Paul of acting in a fleshly, carnal manner. So Paul answers his accusers with verse 4. Okay? Verse 4 is, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in" who? "In God." For what reason? "For pulling down strongholds." Okay? So let's look at what a stronghold might be. A stronghold might be an addiction. And I'm not going to go through all the addictions of life because we all are addicted to something. Okay? Be it whatever it might be, whatever, if you feel powerless to this thing, then it has become a stronghold in your life. And over Thanksgiving, you know, I felt powerless to not eat that German chocolate cake. And I did eat a little piece. But it's a stronghold. It's whatever has caused you to feel weak and powerless over it. Yes, I went through AA, I went through NA and all that kind of stuff. And the very first thing that I had to understand in my life was that, you know, I was powerless. I was powerless to control alcohol. I was powerless to control drugs. I wasn't the one that could just have one sip or do it. I had to drink the whole bottle. I was powerless. And some after that. I was powerless. You see? And so the things of our flesh, okay, our strongholds, those things that causes us to think wrong, to act wrong, those things that drive a stake and a wall again between us and God, are strongholds in our life. Strongholds, okay? The weapons that we as Christians fight with are not carnal or of the flesh. We don't use swords or guns or modern tactics of war in spreading the gospel. We don't go out there. We go out there strategically on a purpose and of what we're going to do. But when we go out there, we don't go out there slapping people around and going capturing folks and dragging them into church. No, we don't use those types of methods. We don't use worldly methods. We don't rely on our wealth, okay? A lot of people, they rely on their money. That's why when their money is gone, they crazy as I don't know what. They don't know how to function. They don't know what to do. I don't know about anybody else, but when my money is gone, I know how to sit down and I know how to go to work and I know how to make some more. Okay? And if it goes past that, I know my daddy taught me how to plant a garden. I can eat some beans. Amen? You see, so I don't rely upon my wealth. If I was preaching for money, I'd have quit a long time ago. Okay? If I was in this thing for money, if I was just to be saved because it was some prestige or some wealth involved in it, then I'd have quit probably the second after I said I will. But we are not like that. We don't rely upon glory. We don't need nobody to pat us upon the back, upon our power. I don't know about you, but I don't have enough power to do this thing, to fight this battle. I don't have enough power. And I don't have enough influence. And guess what? You know, I'm not clever enough to do this. So we don't rely on fleshly things. Okay? We use methods that are mighty how? In God. The methods that we use come from God himself. How? Through the word of God. Don't you know that Jesus had all power in heaven and earth? That Jesus was God Emmanuel with us? And when he was tempted in the wilderness, God, he didn't call down 5,000 legions of angels to take Satan. He said, it is written. See, the weapon that we have is the word of God. That's our primary weapon. When Satan comes up around us and tries to start building up those strongholds, to start trying to build up those separations between family members and all of that, then what we can say that it is written. We can use the word of God. And he began to have his hay fever begin to flare up. He starts to get sick, and he can't stay around when God's word is being used on him. He can't stay in that fight. You can't, if you change the way that we think when we begin to argue, and look at how Jesus would handle that, and then speak the word over it, wouldn't be much argument, would it? So we use methods that are mighty in God for what? For pulling down strongholds. We use faith in the living God, prayer, and obedience to the word of God. These are effective weapons for every true soldier of Jesus Christ. It is by these weapons that strongholds are pulled down. God's word by strong. That's how strongholds are pulled down. Now, go to 2 Corinthians 6. Now see if these are some other weapons. The sixth and seventh verse. If you can put one up at a time, that'd be good. 2 Corinthians 6 and 6. It says, see if these are weapons. See, now bear with me, because as I was studying this thing, I was like, these are weapons? Yeah, these are. By purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness. How could kindness be a weapon? Yeah, think about it. It's hard for somebody to continue to argue with you when all you can say is, yeah, I love you, and God bless you, and you know, I'm going to pray for you. That's what I'm going to do, you know, by kindness, you know, by purity, by how we live our lives when it comes to our cleanliness before God, our moral purity. It's a weapon. The knowledge, of course, is the word of God, by suffering, by going through. You see, by holding our faith in the midst of suffering, going through the suffering. By the Holy Spirit, sincere love. Sincere love. You see, sincere love is a weapon because you can look through a person when they're coming at you and see who is actually holding the strings. Did y'all get that? You see, because I'm not looking at you anymore. I love you, okay? But because because of this this warfare that he's attacking me with you, and you don't even know it. So why am I mad with you? And we'll go to another scripture in a minute. Why am I mad with you when you're not even holding your own strings? Somebody is using you as a puppet. Why? To get at me. See, so in other words, we need to not, because you know what? If we go back to the old way, to the fleshly way of handling situations like that, I think y'all, you know, if I was here, you know, this thing that happened this week with me, somebody would have had to get some bail money. Mm-hmm. But because I'm not who I used to be, because I'm learning not to operate in the flesh or in the old Stephan, I'm able to say, you know what? I see you. And see, when I said that, I see you, I wasn't talking about the person. I see Satan in you trying to get at me. And so the best thing for us to do is to cut this off right now. You see that? By the verse 7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, hear this, by the armor of righteousness, these are the weapons we're fighting with, on the right hand and on the left. See, the armor of righteousness. Verse 5 says, go back to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Do you hear that? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This verse tells us what is meant by strongholds. In verse 4, Paul saw himself as a soldier warring against the proud reasoning of men. In other words, arguments which oppose the truth. Anybody had any arguments like that this week? Mm-hmm. Arguments that oppose the truth. And the thing about it is that they're becoming more crazier and crazier. Their stance on why they believe that God's word is not relevant and that we should not say Jesus Christ because I have a right to all this kind of stuff, you know. Okay? Homosexuality and all of these things. Okay? And people bringing up all kinds of excuses for why they're doing what they're doing. And what they're doing, if they really understood God's word, and if they really tried to seek after God, they couldn't do what they're doing. If they were really seeking after God. But most people have the audacity to say, yeah, but I'm a Christian and I believe in God. That's good. But I believe somewhere in James 2 and 19, it says that the devil believes and trembles. You see? And so that is, it's not just enough to believe, but you know, they're opposing the truth of God's word. They're trying to make wrong seem right. And what Paul is talking about is that these are the arguments that we stand up against. These are the arguments that we, not just homosexuality, but if somebody, oh God, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to say it. If you're just sleeping around and you just got somebody over here or there, or whatever, if you're shacking up, or whatever. I know this going on across. I know you're gonna send this out, bro. But I don't care if you are in a immoral relationship, and you're trying to make it right. And you're trying to use, people have tried to use God's word to make a shacking, as the old folks called it. They shacking up. Right. Marriage is being thrown out the window except for gay marriage. Come on now. You don't hear about a lot of people that are heterosexuals wanting to get married anymore. You hear about gay folks wanting to get married. These are things that are arguments that oppose the truth. And we sit around sometimes and we say, as long as they don't bother me, everybody, here, this is the best one that I've heard. Well, everybody got a right to believe what they believe. You know what? You're right. Yeah, you're right. Under the First Amendment, everybody has a right to freedom of their belief, of whatever it might be. It didn't say that they were right, but they have a right. And if we as Christians, continue to allow them to go down the road of destruction without saying anything, then how much love do we have for our fellow man? We're supposed to stand up against all the arguments that oppose the truth. Arguments that are against what? The knowledge of God. Against the knowledge of God. Evolutionists, philosophers. And all those who have no room for God in their scheme of thinking. Paul is saying that we as Christian soldiers are committed to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I mentioned on Wednesday that I have a problem with people taking the scripture and using it out of context. You know how you're sitting there, you talk with somebody, and let's go with something simple. Somebody says, "Well, it was Eve's fault, that we're in the mess that we're in today." Women, you're off the hook. It is not Eve's fault. It is the man's fault that we are in the mess that we are in today. From the beginning of time, it was Adam's responsibility to live a life connected to God. And to direct his wife, Eve, in doing the same thing. So the problem was this, is that when Eve was there getting ready to bite the fruit, guess who was there with her? He didn't say, stop, this is it, you're not, come on, let's go to God. He didn't do any of that. He said, okay. That's what he said. And because he did that, guess what? We're in the predicament that we're in today. Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. All men's teaching are speculations. And speculations must be judged in the light of the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When somebody comes to you, this is something that you can throw up at them. When somebody comes to you with some off-the-wall stuff, I'm talking about that stuff that just from the beginning, that was from when they first opened their mouth, that really they don't know what they're talking about. Do we get mad? Do we get upset? Do we turn away from them? No, we take away the opportunity for them to know the truth. And so, the best thing that you can say, and I've said this to you before, the best thing that you can say is, where did you get your information from? What books have you studied? Well, I say this. I said it at the table the other week. Do y'all believe that this is the Word of God? Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, Rev. That's what they call me. Rev, I believe that this is the word of God. I said, okay. But I believe men. Okay, all right, here we go. But you believe men wrote it, but not under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. See, you messed up. You got me started. See? And that's how we should be. How are we to prepare ourselves for battle? In closing, Ephesians 6. I tried to close it down, but I started feeling better, so. Ephesians 6 and 10, it talks about, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and how? In the power of his might. So how do we prepare ourselves for battle? We be strong in the power of his might. Okay? We do what? We put on, 11, we put on the whole armor of God. How do we do that? Every morning when you wake up, just like you putting on your clothes, you take some time out and put your armor on. Well, all I got time is to read a scripture. Well, read that scripture every morning. Putting on your armor. Then ask God, how can I apply this scripture to my life today? You're putting on armor, okay? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Have you ever read something in your quiet time and then been tried with that same thing? Or Satan tried to come at you in a way and you were able to use that scripture to say, we dealt with that this morning. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hear this now. This is the scripture I want to get back to. It is not the person. There are some mean, evil people in this world that don't mean themselves or nobody else any good. And even those mean, nasty people are being used by Satan and they don't even know it. Why? Because the Bible says, verse 12, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And because we wrestle against that, against them, how are we to prepare ourselves for battle? It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Okay? Verse 14, it says, gird yourself with truth. Does it say that? Gird yourself with truth. And then what should we do? Put on. So these are things that we have to do. You know? I'm going a little bit longer. Y'all forgive me. But a person that is self-righteous walks around, oh, just I'm all righteous and I'm all good and look at you and all this kind of stuff, right? But see, for us, what we have to do is, and we have to wake up every morning and put on, I don't know about you, but I do, put on the breastplate of righteousness. And have my feet shod, have my feet prepared with the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. In other words, we ought to be the alternative. Where there's war, we ought to be the alternative. What's the alternative? Peace. When there's strife, we ought to be the alternative. The alternative is peace. How we do that? Through the gospel. Through the gospel. Take up the shield of faith. That's what we should put on, okay? And the helmet of salvation. How many of y'all know that regardless of whatever happened in your life, you know that you are saved? Helmet of salvation. and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the biggest thing that we can do is what we're doing over here, and I hope that your prayer life is getting better. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So how are we to prepare ourselves in for the battle? I'm going to say it in closing. Just like this. All that stuff, but what holds all that stuff together is prayer. Pray without ceasing. And pray for everything. Always. That's at least that's what the Bible is saying. Prayer is the key to winning a spiritual warfare. Amen? So as we go about our mission, as we begin to strike out and to do what God has said for us to do, don't be afraid. Conquer fear with faith and continue to do what God has said for you to do. And if you can't go on the street and witness, and whenever we do that, then the best thing for you to do is what? Pray. You know, if you can't walk the streets, then drive in your car and do what? Pray. If you can't even get in your car, you'd rather stay here while we go out, guess what you should be doing? Praying. Why? Because prayer will conquer anything that comes up against us. Spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we do thank you for this time that you have given us. Lord, I thank you for their patience, and I thank you for their kindness and their love. I thank you, God, that you are building this church. You are building this people spiritually, that, Lord, you are exalting them. You are lifting them up. And, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would lift them higher and higher, that you might get the glory for their living, that this church might give you glory and honor by what we do, not just by what we say, but by the lives that we reach and by the ministry that goes from this church. We thank you, God, and we love you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. We will be preaching Christmas stuff next week.